أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وعلم آدم الأسماء كلها ثم عرضهم على الملائكة فقال أنبئوني بأسماء هؤلاء إن كنتم صادقين. قالوا سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. ثم ما بعد, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We're continuing from the 31st ayah. وعلم آدم الأسماء كلها, and he taught Adam عليه السلام the names, all of them. The word علم being used for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a phenomenon in and of itself in the Quran. Allah says a few things in relationship to it. Of course, when he teaches revelation, he says, for example, وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ, and Allah is the one teaching you, attributed to Allah. Also, we find, of course, the famous words in Surah Al-Rahman, عَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنِ, he taught the Quran, meaning Allah attributes the teaching of the Quran to himself. He also attributes the teaching of language to himself, عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانِ, in the same surah. He taught the human being how to articulate himself. In other words, even the ability to speak for the human beings is not something we acquired or learned ourselves. It was something that was taught to us. Here we find Allah Azza wa Jal in the beginning of humanity, he says, and this is a further explanation of عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانِ. It's going a step back. Allah says, Adam alayhi salam, he taught him the names, all of them. الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. Some figurative translations suggest, and he taught Adam the names of all things. But that would have been asma'a kulli shay'in, or something to that effect. But it's al-asma'a kullaha, the names, all of them. It changes the connotations of the language a little bit. Some have commented about this, that Adam alayhi salam was taught all kinds of names, because the word kull in Arabic literature and also in the precedence of the Quran doesn't necessarily mean everything. It can mean lots of things. So for example, Queen Sheba, Saba, was given all kinds of things, min kulli shay'in. That doesn't mean she was given everything, it means she was given all kinds of things. So it's sort of a figure of speech and not necessarily to be taken so in such restricted fashion. And so when Allah says kullaha, he's referring to this vast vocabulary that was potentially given to Adam alayhi salam, and that's the other thing I'm kind of adding. Some scholars say that he was given the knowledge of all kinds of things. Others say he was given the potential knowledge of all things. And if you understand it from that point of view, the progression of human knowledge in any science, whether it's history or sociology or account, whatever field it may be, in the end it boils down to terminology. So even if you're doing the highest type of studies in whatever subject, in the end it's got a glossary of terms, and it boils down to names of things, terminologies. Whether you're studying grammar or you're studying biology, it's going to be the same thing in the end. It will boil down to names, the attribution of names. And in modern linguistics, interestingly enough, the argument is made that all language stems from nouns, names. In other words, nouns and names are essentially the same idea. Verbs are even derived from nouns, so they come from it. But the original state is the noun itself, and that's modern linguistics. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentions the first one to be taught language, he begins with nouns, with names. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. So this is, and by the way, angels had asked, he will cause fasad on the earth. And Allah Azza wa Jal, in response, now before he tells the angels that they don't really know what he knows, one of the issues here is Allah gave Adam alayhi salam the potential of having a vast body of knowledge that was not given to the angels. He was taught the names of things. And ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ, he presented them before the angels. فَقَالَ أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ. Then he asked them, or he basically asked them, inform me the names of these. Inform me the names of these. إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, if in fact you are truthful. Now, again, interestingly, إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ is not used. Instead of saying, tell me the names of these things if you know. He didn't say that. He said, if in fact you are truthful. He's showing the angels, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's showing the angels that the statement they made will be proven false. So he says to them, why don't you tell me the names of these things to demonstrate? And if you can't, then the claim that you made is also false, that he will necessarily shed blood and cause corruption in the land. Okay. He says, قالوا, they said, قالوا سبحانك. They said, we declare your perfection above and beyond all. This is the word subhan. To declare, it comes literally from swimming. And when something swims or floats, it keeps its place. It's used for Allah Azza wa Jal when we declare His perfection and glory. We don't say anything that brings Him down for him, from His perfect status. So to declare His perfection, Subhanak, la ilma lana. We have absolutely no knowledge whatsoever, illa ma 'allamtana, except that which you have taught us. We have absolutely no knowledge whatsoever except what you have taught us. Here again, something very powerful. Allah Azza wa Jal begins with Adam alayhi salam saying, we taught him the names of all things. And most ulama comment these are names in dunya. In other words, things in agriculture and in, you know, tools and things like that. All these sciences we develop. In other words, knowledge of dunya. You know how we think knowledge of dunya is something we acquire and knowledge of deen is something Allah gives? Now we're being corrected. Even the knowledge of dunya is something Allah has given us. No matter how far technology gets, it begins with what Allah Azza wa Jal gave us Himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the accomplishments of human beings. You know, we talk about modern technology or the marvels of technology as opposed to the marvels of nature. So you see beautiful mountains, you'll say, this is Allah's work, this is Allah's creation. But when you see skyscrapers or cell phones or satellites, and you say, this is the product of the human mind. Well, the human mind has been equipped and enabled and has been taught these terms by Allah Azza wa Jal. So that in and of itself is a manifestation of Allah's gift to humanity as well. Anyhow, so they said, لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. No doubt it is you and you alone that are all knowledgeable and all wise. Now they mentioned two. One of the attributes acknowledges, yes, He's the one who knows, we don't know. The second is wise, because they don't know the wisdom in the human being being created. So they're acknowledging there's wisdom here that we may not know or see. Then he says, قَالَ يَا آدَمْ أَنْبِئْهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ. He said, Adam, inform them of the names of these things. And him is, because it's used for لِذَوِ الْعُقُولِ, for creatures that possess intellect also, the him can include nations and other human-related aspects, even jinn-related aspects, things that are not just inanimate objects, because that would have been أَسْمَائِهَا. So أَنْبِئْهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ فَلَمَّا أَنْبَأَهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ. Then when he informed them of their names, and here fa is also really cool, because if you say thumma, it means it took him a while to get the answers. When Allah asked him, tell him the names of all of these things, he was able to do so immediately. Fa is sooner than thumma. So فَلَمَّا أَنْبَأَهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ. Then Allah said to the angels, didn't I tell you, didn't I say to you, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَأَعْلَمُ مَا تُبْدُونَ وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ. I am the one alone, I exclusively am the one who knows for sure the unseen of the skies and the earth, and I know that which you are exposing, tubdun, what you are exposing, your criticism, your concern that you've manifest, وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ, and that which you have been hiding. And you know, there has been some debate about what could the angels be hiding. And I've read different opinions of ulama on this issue, but the one that I found the most convincing is the one I'll share with you. I urge you to do your own homework as well and read up on the subject, inshallah. But what is it that Allah is implying when He tells the angels, I know what you're showing, and I know also what you are hiding? Because the angels, they don't have secret agendas. They're created to obey Allah Azza wa Jal. So what is it that they have been hiding? The most convincing answer to that personally that I found in the writings of the scholars comes from a couple of mufassirun, including Al-Alusi rahimahullah and Ruh al-Ma'ani, who argues that the angels had embedded, who was embedded within the ranks of the angels now because of his great service, was Iblis. So he was, you know, he was given that rank above, which is why even the angels were commanded to do sajda and Iblis refused. But Iblis is jinn. So it's, Allah didn't say jinn were commanded to do sajda and he refused. Angels were commanded, but he was given a rank above the angels, even in a position of authority according to some narrations. So his kufr, his disobedience, is something hidden within the ranks of the angels. And it's even hidden from them. It's even something hidden away from them. In their ranks, it's hidden. So Allah knows which they are exposing, and the element of kufr that's actually entered their ranks, which even they haven't, they're hiding it, and even they're not themselves exposed to it. That is what Allah Azza wa Jal also knows. So He's alluding to Iblis. Anyhow, وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ. And so we get right into that subject of him being exposed. When we said to the angels, make sajda to Adam, فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ. Then they all fell into prostration, they all fell into sajda, with the exception of Iblis. أَبَا وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. أَبَا, he refused. Arabic language is very sensitive in translation. You know, there's رَفَضَ, there's abba, they both mean refuse. And actually if you use abba with illa, it becomes the opposite meaning. So You know, a lot of times people are interested in word-for-word translations of the Qur'an. When you go word-for-word, you can miss the entire meaning. You can actually miss the entire meaning. Aba actually gets used when you refuse the command of someone who has authority over you. When you show a lack of regard for the authority above and you disobey, this is Aba. So he shows lack of authority to Allah Azza wa Jal. Rafada is also gets translated refuse. But Rafada could be between you and me. I ask you to do something, you refuse. I wouldn't say abaita, I'd say rafadda, you refused. So there's a difference between them. It illustrates that he refused the higher authority above him, aba. Wastakbara. Istikbara is translated and he sought, or he was arrogant. Which may be a legitimate translation, but istikbar from istif'al literally means to seek greatness. To seek greatness. And in this word, Allah has given us a real insight into the psyche of Iblis. One, he refused Allah's commandment, which is his major crime. The second is the motive behind that crime. What is it that leads him to that crime? He wants greatness for himself. Why should sajda be done to him? I've been working all this time for the promotion. Well, how does he get it without any experience? How does he get this position? So he refuses out of this position of him seeking this great position. My teacher, Dr. Abdul Sami, said something very subtle about this ayah. And something really scary. I thought it was actually terrifying. He said, what position has Allah given Adam alayhi salam? Allah has told us, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. The greatest honor given to the human being is the fact that he gets to be Allah's slave, service to Allah Azza wa Jal. It's not a position of power, it's a position of weakness. Even though it's honor in it, the honor comes from us acknowledging our weakness before Allah Azza wa Jal. It's a religious position. It doesn't get you treasures or, you know, ranks, etc., etc. It's a position essentially of servitude to Allah Azza wa Jal. That's what the position is. And you could argue it's a religious position. And Iblis is vying even for that. In other words, what we have to understand is arrogance and seeking power doesn't just happen when you're trying to be the CEO of the company or trying to win the elections and rule a nation and things like that. Arrogance and power struggles can even happen within the religious sphere. Even people of religion, people of knowledge and religion, can vie against each other to have religious authority. There can be arrogance even in the desire to lead prayer. Or the desire to be the imam, or be the great, be known as the greatest scholar among everybody else. And may Allah protect us and our scholars from this kind of fitna. Because the nation before us was riddled with this fitna. They used their religious rank, and they were vying for religious position, and that was the manifestation of their arrogance. It wasn't just worldly acquisitions. And so, أَبَا وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. And he had been, كَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. He had been from those who had kufr. In other words, Allah is acknowledging he knew of that potential kufr inside him all along. Kana min al kafirin. This would have been different than asbaha min al kafirin, because even though kana is a'am, kana includes asbaha. Asbaha would have meant he became from the disbelievers. In other words, when he did this, then he became from the disbelievers. If you say kana, it implies he became, but also Allah is letting us know he knew all along. He had been that way, except nobody else knew until he actually opened his mouth on that day when his arrogance manifested itself. This is the other scary thing. Just because someone hasn't expressed their arrogance against Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't mean it's not there. It just came out that day, out in the open, and Allah exposed him, but the disease was already there. If there was no disease, the symptom would never have manifested. His words are just a symptom of a pre-existing disease. So this is something we have to look into inside of ourselves for. I mentioned to you before, let's see if you remember, how many times is this story mentioned in the Qur'an? Seven times. Seven times Allah mentions this story. And there are so many lessons inside this story for all of us. As far as our journey for success towards Allah Azza wa Jal. Here you have two creatures of Allah being compared. Adam alayhi salam on the one hand, and Iblis on the other hand. Who does the stupidest thing he could have done? He tries to outsmart Allah Azza wa Jal. Here in this surah, it's not mentioned explicitly. Later on, we'll find it. خَلَقْتَهُ مِن نَارٍ. You know, خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن طِينٍ. You created me from fire. You created him from clay. He's trying to give a logical explanation for his disobedience. When you and I try to start giving logical explanations for disobeying Allah, which, by the way, some of us do, you know, you do something wrong and then you try to give a rationale for it. Whose path is that? Who tries to give a logical explanation for disobeying Allah. That's the path of Iblis. And which of these two creatures makes a mistake, because we're going to learn Adam alayhi salam made his historic mistake, And actually both our parents did together, because Allah makes sure we understand it's both of them, unlike the Christians who blame Eve. And actually they from it they get the English word evil, according to some literaries, because they think the root of all evil is she, you know. Unlike that, we find فَأَزَلَّهُمَا. You know, we'll read this today too. Shaitan caused both of them to slip. In other words, Allah didn't put the blame on one, He put it on both, together. So we don't separate her out and single her out in this matter. Anyhow, so وَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمْ, we'll conclude with this ayah inshallah. وَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمْ أُسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ. Beautiful words. He says, Adam, Allah says to Adam alayhi salam, settle. أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ. By the way, sukoon doesn't just mean settle. Sukoon means you were in motion and then you stopped somewhere and then you remain there. This is sukoon. There are 10 words for living somewhere in the Qur'an. 10 different words. And this is one of them. And sakin is someone who used to be somewhere and then he's... Meaning Allah has put him in Jannah. He wasn't there originally. He's been created and then he's been given this gift of Jannah and Allah has allowed him to settle there. Now, uskun anta wa zawjuka al-jannah. Also, sukoon doesn't necessarily imply permanent residence. That's khuld. So Allah didn't say ukhlud. Remain permanently. He said uskun, stay. Because Allah has already declared something else, which we know, which is that He has been created for where? The earth. Now He says, you and your spouse settle in paradise. Beautiful language. He didn't say uskuna fil jannah. Both of you settle in paradise. He said, you and your spouse. In other words, who did He address? Adam alayhi salam. And through Adam alayhi salam, He addressed our mother. What does this signify? This signifies a principle that has been there from Adam alayhi salam, no matter how much some people who have this like disease in their head that they think, you know, Islam is male chauvinist or it's anti-women or all this garbage. In the end, Allah is the Lord, the master of men and women together. And Allah Azza wa Jalla has not given anyone something that He hasn't given the other something else to compensate. But there is one thing Allah has given men. It is a position of responsibility in the family. الرجال قوامون على النساء. Now, granted, most Muslim men even don't understand what that means or live by it. But in the end, the man has been given the responsibility over the household. And that responsibility actually begins with Adam alayhi salam, because when the household is given instructions by Allah, He didn't instruct both of them. Who did He instruct? He instructs Adam alayhi salam and says, you and your spouse. In other words, he's supposed to go tell his spouse, or he's supposed to convey that instruction to his spouse. The same thing happens with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. قُلْ لِأَزْوَاجِكَ. You tell your spouses. And then to the women of the believers. SubhanAllah. This is embedded inside the principles of our deen. So you know Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in Surah An-Nisa, and I'll conclude with this. Allah Azza wa Jal says, لِلْرِجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا كَسَبُوا وَلِلْنِسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبْنَا. For men, there will be only what they earned. And for women, there will be only what they earned. You shouldn't try to vie for what the other has. That's how the ayah begins in Surah An-Nisa. Don't vie for what Allah has blessed others with. You know, don't pursue that, because Allah has given you what you will earn, and they will be given what they will earn. There's no cause for jealousy. And so Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَكُلَا مِنْهَا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمْ رَغَدًا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا وَلَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِهِ شَجَرَ فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Then eat from this tree freely, both of you, and or eat from this paradise freely, eat whatever you want, carefree, raghadan. Don't go near this tree, either of you. وَلَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ. Don't go near this tree, either of you. فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. And if you do so, then you may become from those who are wrongdoers, from the wrongdoers. So Allah initially gives Adam and Hawa alayhim as-salam this powerful warning. We'll talk more about that inshallah ta'ala tomorrow. بَارَكَ اللَّهُ لِي وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقُرْآنِ الْحَكِيمِ وَنَفَعْنِي وَإِيَّاكُمْ بِالْآيَاتِ وَالذِّكْرِ الْحَكِيمِ.